Welcome back to The Daily Poem, a podcast from Goldberry Studios. I'm Sean Johnson, and today is Thursday, April 4th, 2024. Today's poem is by the St. Lucian poet, playwright, and Nobel Prize winner, Derek Walcott. And it's called Sea Grapes. I'll read it once, offer a few comments, and then read it one more time. Here's Sea Grapes. That sail which leans on light, tired of islands, a schooner beating up the Caribbean for home, could be Odysseus, homebound on the Aegean, that father and husband's longing under gnarled sour grapes is like the adulterer hearing Nausicaa's name in every gull's outcry. This brings nobody peace. The ancient war between obsession and responsibility will never finish, and has been the same for the sea wanderer or the one on shore now wriggling on his sandals to walk home since Troy sighed its last flame, and the blind giant's boulder heaved the trough from whose groundswell the great hexameters come to the conclusions of exhausted surf. The classics can console, but not enough. A poem full of classical allusions, mostly to Homer's epics, the Odyssey in particular. The speaker looks out, sees a ship on the water, and imagines it belonging to Odysseus, homebound on the Aegean, that husband and father longing for Ithaca, the wife and son that he left there. But that longing is complicated in the third stanza by this reference to Odysseus as an adulterer. He has, in fact, had extramarital affairs with goddesses during his long 10-year journey home, although his this is a complicated aspect of Homer's epic, as many reading from a modern materialist viewpoint are quick or comfortable to use the word adultery to describe what Odysseus has done there, while at the same time, Odysseus is not shown in Homer's poem to be an entirely willing participant in these relations, but rather a mortal who's trapped on islands and somewhat at the mercy of these more powerful goddesses into whose clutches he's fallen. But Nausicaa is an interesting exception to this. She is the princess of the Phaeacians or Phaeacians, depending on how you learn to pronounce the C in the middle of that word. She is a chaste maiden who is offered to Odysseus at one point, more or less, as a bride. But Odysseus refuses, though she is lovely, virtuous, has shown him great courtesy and some ways is responsible for saving him and making his final homecoming possible. And so the speaker gives us her name as the one that the wandering father and husband hears on the wind as he sails home. This is the truest example of the ancient war between obsession and responsibility, or duty and desire. Nausicaa is the good that is desirable for virtuous reasons, except in the context of Odysseus, who has other responsibilities, competing duties. And it's that tension that is the source of the gnarled sour grapes. It's not the goddesses who held him against his will that Odysseus thinks of. It's the virtuous maiden that he had to leave behind, or chose to leave behind, in order to pursue the other and greater goods at home. By the end of the poem, this has lifted out of myth into some unnamed and undescribed struggle of the speakers. The one on shore now wriggling on his sandals to walk home. And it's unclear whether this man putting on his sandals is walking home after some sort of trespass or transgression. Has he just committed an act of betrayal or adultery? Or is he walking away from the possibility of such an act? There's a lot of ambiguity there. What's clear is that there is a tension in the speaker that is prompting these musings on the epics of the past. And he says that this is a conflict that is as old as man, at least as old as Homer's epic, anyway. It's the conflict that Paris gave into when he absconded with Helen at the expense of his city, Troy, which ultimately perished in flame as a result. It's the tension, the conflict in Odysseus that forces him to shout his name to the Cyclops as he and his men sail away, thus prompting a fallout later on in their journey. Even that final complete stanza about the blind giant's boulder is a great little poetic image here. The blind giant's boulder heaved the trough from whose groundswell the great hexameters come. This is a reference to Polyphemus the Cyclops, who, in his anger, hurls stones at Odysseus's fleeing ship, and the stones land in the water near the ship and cause these great waves and swells, which Walcott is comparing to the poetic form that Homer is writing in, the dactylic hexameter, which is a stress followed by two unstressed syllables, dum-da-dum, dum-da-dum, these sort of crests that swell and then break. As they move down the line of verse. It's a great little image. And then the final line, which is so poignant. He has been reflecting on the way in which this war inside a man, as evinced throughout history and in great works of literature like the Odyssey and the Iliad, and that there's something consoling about that. That even the great men of the epics have wrestled with what each man, to some degree, wrestles with. The classics can console, but not enough. In the end, there's nothing to be done about one's own war except to fight it. And the classics can inspire or encourage, but they can't do that for you. Here's Sea Grapes one more time. That sail which leans on light, tired of islands, a schooner beating up the Caribbean for home, could be Odysseus, homebound on the Aegean. That father and husband's longing under gnarled sour grapes is like the adulterer hearing Nausicaa's name in every gull's outcry. This brings nobody peace. The ancient war between obsession and responsibility will never finish and has been the same for the sea wanderer or the one on shore now wriggling on his sandals to walk home since Troy sighed its last flame. The blind giant's boulder heaved the trough from whose groundswell the great hexameters come to the conclusions of exhausted surf. The classics can console, but not enough. This has been the Daily Poem. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with another poem for you. To listen to past episodes or support this show, please visit dailypoempod.substack.com. For our whole team at Goldberry Studios, I'm Sean Johnson. Until next time, happy reading.